just to complain about something. So there's this, we'll call them a brand of these artists who make like, who make designs for this project, right?
Mm-hmm.
I ordered a mug and it was printed on demand and it's like not centered and whatever. I can live my life with a non-centered mug. But I ordered two stickers from them. Took about 2 months to get to me.
Mm-hmm.
And in the package were three other stickers used as packaging that would have been amazing little add-ons. But instead they used them to throw away because they used them for packaging. And it had their logo and shit on it. Like, don't you wanna... They're... Oh my god, I'm like... It makes me so mad because they're so fucking obsessed with their brand that they don't even, like, consider that, oh, maybe we should just put these in an envelope and then our consumer gets cool bonus stickers that we are going to waste. That's it. That's how I feel. That's all. It makes me so mad and I just...
That is... Every time I've, like, ordered a guitar pedal or, honestly, every time I order stickers and I use Sticker Mule, this is not, like... They always send like a goofy little sticker,
right? Of their little bonus
thing. Yeah, and like especially for this one because they mentioned, oh hey, like when I was originally ordering these ones that I just made for the show, they're like, yeah, it should show up by the 7th. I was like, that's perfect, that's safe,
great.
And then yeah, they're showing up like tomorrow.
Thanks, like, guys.
Nice. I didn't even pay for like the extra stuff. You guys are just that on top of it. That is so cool. Let me turn
see this. How amazing it is for things to work out like that. I'll buy from them again because I fucking love the shit they make, but mm-hmm. Shit, man.
No.
Okay, anyway. This is Fueled by Lore, a podcast where we talk about art and shit, and I fucking...
Fueled by Lore on a Tuesday, Wednesday.
It's so odd
finding the light of
Thursday, Friday.
Settle in the ashes.
It's our way to talk a lot here.
Patty, here we are again. I'm on my, I don't know, number coffee. But it's half calf, so I put a little decaf in there, so I'm not going totally crazy.
I've gone kind of down towards the dark roast, because I actually have. So we're cutting some caffeine, but we're not going half calf yet.
Yeah. I need a little half calf in my life sometimes. I get a little crazy, a little sweaty, can't do... Yep. Hard to do art with jittery.
Yes. Unfortunately, yeah. I am no longer a death before decaf kind of person, but I absolutely used to be. But.
Yes.
Like, that's only just because, just for the times that I want to, like, have coffee, but don't want the jitters and stuff.
Exactly.
Like, if we're talking about, like, that super good, like, premium coffee, I guess, I'll always go calf. Mm. Always go calf.
Yeah. I think we as a society need to accept decaf.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think we've moved into that stage where it's like, yeah, the hustle and the bustle. You can still get your light roast that has more caffeine. Not the dark roast. But just, it's okay to have decaf. I've learned that as an adult. Or something. But I definitely had that sort of, like... mega caffeine something shit in school. It was definitely not good for me.
Oh no, definitely. But I feel like that's something that you got to go through.
Oh yeah,
it's one of the things of life.
Yes, experiencing caffeine 24/7 and taking a cup before bed because you only get 1 hour of sleep, so you might as well be ready to go.
Yep.
Oh
those days when all-nighters were no big deal.
No, yeah, no kidding. some fucked up part of me really misses those days. You know, like,
it's,
but
yeah, it's exhausting.
Not good for you.
No, definitely not. And it's just the memories that are attached is like,
yeah.
At the moment, those things were that important. So
That's true. Yeah, but the hallucinating people on the sidewalk walking home at 3 in the morning, probably not good for you.
Probably not ideal.
No. Have you ever been that sleep deprived that you fucking started hallucinating? Because that shit was very common for me in school. I didn't realize it until looking back at it that, oh, that's what that was. I just thought I was going crazy.
Yeah. Been there. Not the, not the game plan.
No. Get some sleep, y'all.
Yep.
Or try to.
Mm-hmm. But. And on that, welcome to Fueled by Lore.
Oh, yeah. Woo. Podcast.
I feel like that was a good intro, a good couple of nuggets in there.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're talking. Mm-hmm. Here we are, revisiting the things, starting from a familiar place.
We're just kind of taking our temps and double-checking.
Checking the temps, making sure that delivered food was correct and servable.
Well, I guess just to start off, since this time it's kind of me interviewing you this time.
Oh.
Me, Patrick, interviewing Beth, in case you guys got confused there.
Actually, sorry, I want to cut you off and say it's hilarious that people are like, oh, is Patrick Patty Melt? And I'm like,
wait, is that
we have names?
Is that really?
Yeah, I was talking to, I don't remember who I was talking to, but they were like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Like, also, I guess, just another side note, like having Spotify Wrapped come out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I forgot, so like, back in like the heyday, there were like a couple people who had, you know, some like a song or two in Maddie's Changed as like their, some of their top songs for the Spotify Wrapped when it was first starting, and that was so exciting. But then now, like, having the podcast show up on like a couple accounts as like the top five, and I'm just like, what?
Yeah,
guys.
Even, and it's like, I know it's like, oh, I don't listen to podcasts on Spotify, and I listen to a couple episodes of yours, so therefore,
yeah,
but that still counts, and
it
that
still
makes
counts
me,
it's
that's just bewildering. I love seeing our little podcast show up on my Spotify Wrapped. Did you know your top podcast this year was Fueled by Lore? Yeah, I did.
Oh, man.
I didn't listen to any other podcasts this year, though, to be honest. Mm.
I'm still a hardcore fan of Throughline. Dungeons and Daddies was actually my top one this year.
Oh, nice.
And then also The Adventure Zone.
Classic.
And Up First, a couple of NPR podcasts. So I'm just an NPR tote bag girl.
Yeah, all of those are very on brand, Patrick.
Yeah. I think one thing you get from me is I'm me and I advertise it just as so. Except for, fun fact, especially since our last episode was talking about me and how I'm a Shaky Graves ripoff. Shaky Graves was not my number one, so I'm just living a lie.
What was your number one? I have to know.
Camp, the band Camp with two A's, who honestly, their sound kind of fits me a little better.
Yeah.
Me and them kind of overlap maybe a little more than
okay.
Me and Shaky, and there's definitely a lot of...
I like that you're on a first name basis.
Yes, yes.
You and Mr. Graves.
Mr. Graves. But, yeah, I guess I got a rebrand. I'm now, Morning Honey, I guess, is now officially a camp ripoff band, but we'll see. We'll just take one step at a time. It'll overcome and adapt. That's how we go.
Yes. Yeah, I was surprised when Spotify's like, hey, bitch, I'm back. And I'm like, oh, thank God. I love Spotify Wrapped. But it was a good reflection, you know, things coming back, revisiting. Because, okay, here's a great segue for, I don't, just like, we've been revisiting shit. I don't know about you, but I've spent a lot of time just contemplating. That's kind of where I've been at. So it's funny to me to see like all of the old songs from 2020 to also be on my 2021 rap. Mm-hmm. Also, Gestalt made it on there, so.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, so shout out to y'all. So.
Aw, I love that. They're so good.
I
love those boys.
It's great, but we're not here to talk about Spotify, I guess. I got really nervous. I don't know why. My heart just suddenly started racing. I needed straight decaf. I shouldn't have went half calf.
You host 20 episodes of a podcast and then all of a sudden get back on the podcast and you're like, oh shit.
Man, we're talking. This shit's being recorded.
But
whatever.
I think, okay, with you know, the whole idea of kind of reflecting.
Yes.
One thing I'm kind of interested about, because for me, I found a lot of like inspiration, kind of extra motivation with, you know, the podcast and meeting, you know, not necessarily like, I guess, meeting a couple new people, but for the most part, kind of actually like diving into stories and ideas and inspirations and stuff kind of helped me push me to want to create more and do a little more. And honestly, coming full circle, I kind of felt like a bit in a rut of just not doing much. There's a whole bunch of circumstances that led up to that, but now that we're kickstarting the podcast, realizing that like my EP came out, I have a release show and stuff, it's like reinvigorated excitement for, you know, just getting up and doing the thing. With that, like after like getting to sit down and talk with all these like independent creatives and creators, has your approach to your art form changed or evolved or adapted? Just kind of hearing all these different stories and takes on creativity and inspiration and stuff.
I don't think my process has changed very much, but I think I've gotten a little more attached to art. Because talking to other people who make things and stuff, it just sort of reminds you that people make things, you know? And that's such a personal endeavor and such a, like, worthwhile thing to pursue. And to talk to other people who do it and like they're like, oh, this is my thing that I do, and I'm like, this is my thing that I do. And it's just really inspiring to like all kind of be in that boat of just like, we all make our own stuff, we help each other make other things that are all sort of this and that, but like we make the things that we make. You know what I mean? As much as they come and go and change and whatever, which is also something I've been coming to terms with. But yeah, it just reminds you how personal your craft can be. And that we all started somewhere. You know, that's, and it's just, you know, we called the, some lore for Fueled by Lore. We literally called it this because, like, talking to other artists and, like, other people who make things and getting, like, literally fueled by like the history of like what they've gone through and the things that they continue persevering for and this and that. Yeah, fuel to the fire, baby. But yeah, and like if we're reflecting upon the whole thing, I really gotta shout out Cameron for like firing me up enough to go back on like at least Instagram, which was a big, big step for me. I know I was talking about that. But also just realizing things you need to do and things I still haven't done yet. But yeah, unfortunately, I found a lot of frustration making art recently. And I wish that I could be on that go wagon so bad. But it's just hard, you know, to push a boulder that has been stagnant for so long.
Yeah, it's hard to kind of like, I feel like when you let a project set like that, sometimes it can be really hard to essentially like dig it out of the rut that it's sitting in. But then sometimes I feel like, you know, I guess I can even apply this to like me kind of not feeling motivated and like drained almost, was just, you know, sometimes it just takes the right, essentially the right storm to kind of wash away the rut around it so you can make it easier for you to get it moving again.
Which I freaking figured out how to do it, you know, getting inspired again. Wow. This is so fucking silly, but my brother really likes motorsports, so by proxy I've been getting a little into motorsports, you know, and he's showing me these cars and I'm like, I want to make a fucking painting based on that car, you know, and sort of going down this interesting avenue of different ideas and stuff. And we were talking a lot about how, like, bands and projects sometimes go on and sometimes they complete their project, right? And then that's, like, the end of that adventure and so on. And I've really been thinking about that because I've been in this place where I'm clinging onto something that I think I should be continuing when I realize it's okay to let go and do something else. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems so simple, but it's like, you know, this fucking painting that I've been working on forever. It's like, I thought it was like a locked door, but it's not the only fucking door, you know? I'll come back to this bitch after I figure out how to, like, find pleasure in making art again, you know what I mean? So hopefully some of these things can, like, get the gears grinding again and whatever. But the other thing that's been on my mind is going back to this period of reflection and not making a lot of art. I've been trying to figure out where I came from, especially since we started this podcast and we had our little interviews. I'm like, who am I? Like, where is my art from? Who, like, what am I doing? And I've been going through a lot of old stuff because, you know, posting on Instagram, trying to find, like, content to post and digging through these deep archives. It's, like, very, I guess it's inspiring, yeah, because it's, like, it's really exciting for me to know that I have always sort of loved art in a way that is very free. I want to talk about that because, like, I'm going through all these old sketchbooks from, like, 2010, like, and even, like, before that and whatever. And it's, like, I was just making art because I fucking liked making art. I didn't have any worries about, like, I need to make something that's marketable or something that's appealing to the audience or this or that. I was, like, I'm just doing my thing, right? Which, I want to go back to little me doing that because making things gets all caught up in the turbines of success.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And how to achieve that and ways to achieve that and this and that. And I don't know. I just need to... I've always sort of been making art outside of a... well, I guess inside more of a niche because it's all very particular to the point where I was thinking about, again, where we come from.
Mm-hmm.
And so on. And you talking about your inspirations, where you started and stuff like that, like bands that are recognizable to at least me, you know, I'm like, okay, so mm-hmm. I understand that. Patrick, I come from the internet and I cannot explain to you the things that I have seen and gone through. So it's really interesting for me to try and like put that together. Like, how do I explain where I came from when I literally grew up on the internet in weird-ass chat rooms drawing sparkle dogs and stuff and, like, going on the DeviantArt thing and role-playing on forums and this and that? Like, we live different lives. you were out rocking out in your basement and I was, like, pretending to be a wolf, like a werewolf online.
I mean, it's just different perspectives and different backgrounds that ultimately, like, you know, they produce a different perspective on art and a different outlook and ultimately a different product, which is just enriching, you know, the culture of like any kind of artistic community, no matter how far or niche or broad it might be. It's, mm-hmm. you know,
it's still somewhere.
It's still art and you can kind of trace it all back to something. Like, inspiration is kind of just something that will always get passed on, mm-hmm. no matter how much you try and like stifle it. It's still there.
Yeah, no matter how much you try to stifle it, and no matter where you look, it could still be there.
Yeah.
which is why I'm not like, I don't think I'm ashamed of the weird place that I came from, but I just need to acknowledge it and understand it, which is something I've been trying to do. But you know, trying.
Yeah, I think honestly, like, that's a huge thing because I think that there's always like a part, and this is kind of just even an aspect of like growing up, is like looking back on yourself. And this even can go to what you like, you know, if I did something like stupid and embarrassing last week, it's just like it happened. I can't change it, you know, moving forward. It's
mm-hmm.
I can be ashamed and like embarrassed and like freaked out by it for as long as I want, or I can, like you said, accept it and appreciate it. And I think the last thing is, I don't think you necessarily need to understand it all the time. But you just need to respect, like, it happened. That's where, you know, you came from. Respect the fact that that's the way it was. And, you know, that's that. Like,
you cannot change the past. You can only acknowledge it.
Exactly. And even on, and then to take that a step further, like, what was it? God, this is a fucking, gonna pull in a Princess Bubblegum quote here.
All right.
A big one. What was it? Like, she had this quote. This isn't gonna be exact, but it's along the lines of, you know, people are different. You don't have to understand it, but you just have to respect it.
Hmm.
And it's just like, you know, you don't have to sit there and be like, my past was weird, like the internet was super weird, or like locking people in my basement and singing to them was super weird. It's like, it's where it started. I didn't lock people in my basement, just that did, what was it? It was portrayed like that to a few people, and then they came and they're like, it's not as creepy as it sounds.
I have a fine wine in my basement. Come down, we'll listen to music.
Yes.
Yeah, I just, it's so interesting because I think about my big inspirations when I was a kid and coming back and seeing where they are now. I'm thinking about three in particular. All were artists who were like big in the furry thing. Like we were all drawn wolves, like wolves with huge paws. Like it was a thing. One of them now does amazing work for Wizards of the Coast.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Fucking amazing artist. And another travels the fucking world and just sketches on their free time. Like all of their posts are them like on a sailing boat, like still sketching wolves and stuff. And I'm like, fucking awesome. And the other, still makes art like that's still in the same vein of, to the point that they were still really recognizable to me, even though I hadn't seen their work in like 10 years, you know? But like they finesse their technique and it just makes me really proud, I guess. And I don't know. It's just very calming to know people go on with their lives in a sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that even like ties into, you know, kind of one of the lines that apparently just didn't fucking exist, that kind of inspired me to, you know, want to start the podcast too, was that I swear I heard Sara say this in one of her videos and then I never found it. But the whole line about, you know, whatever story you're connected to, you know, the TV show or book or anything, the cool thing about a story and a fiction or a fiction that, you know, you're connected to is that the story doesn't end when the book finishes or when the TV series finishes. Like, it lives on in you. And so you get to, you know, be the next episode or the next chapter in the story because it's now officially, you know, influenced your life. And so with that kind of thing, it's like you watch, and on the flip side, it's like those authors, those artists, those musicians and stuff is like, even if they stop doing music or anything or, you know, art or something, or they're not doing exactly what they used to, is like they continue on to other things, which is super cool. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, Fall Out Boy doesn't have to be a band forever. They've taken hiatuses, they have their own lives and everything.
Yeah.
And like, what was it? I think actually going back to them pop punk roots, good old A Day to Remember, like their original like lineup, their guitarist, the main guitarist who was there for, I forget when he switched out, but like just the fact that he's not in the band anymore, like he left pretty early because he's like, I want to produce music and, you know, raise my kid and be a good dad and stuff. And so they got a new guitarist, but then he's still like cameos in music videos and like helps produce the music and everything. And he's still got, he's not in the band, but he, you know, lives this other life because that's what he chose. And that's the thing is like, you know, it's, we can be upset that we're not seeing this exact content that maybe like inspired us or something, but you know, their story continues and it doesn't have to be the same chapter over and over again.
Yeah, shit lives on, even if it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even if it's different. Because I have a confession.
Mm-hmm.
I still want to paint dragons. But I don't know if everyone knew this, but I like to paint other things too. So I'm going to explore that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You know, I just, because I have this idea that my brother sparked today, I literally want to get a jump on it so bad. I have to do a lot of prep work for it though, but I'm going to try oil painting again. It's going to be very exciting. And I love oil painting because it's just fucking dangerous. Like, you eat this shit, it kills you. You smell this too long, it kills you. Have fun. I only learned that in a special, I probably talked about this before, in a special class in my fucking, like, BFA program. Like, how is that not information you get on your first day of oil painting? What? Anyway. Please be in a ventilated space if you use the oil painting things. But, yeah, I want to make art. And it's like, mm-hmm. there's all these hurdles in the way, and a lot of them are, like, practical, right? Like, money, technology, time, this, that. But the other thing is, like, okay, I'm afraid of failure, obviously, so I don't want to start. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do anything because I could fuck it up. But I was telling you last time that, like, I love doing nothing, and it is true. My favorite, like, relaxation routine is sitting, smoking, and listening to music and going absolutely crazy. you gotta do fucking something at some point, right? Because, mm-hmm. man, this shit ain't gonna make itself. It is not. It is not. And that's something we all need to remember. Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Yeah, I think, like, getting the ball rolling is, like, yeah. such an interesting thing. And then also because it's, you know, it's to an extent, it kind of ties into that, you know, being active, being productive, and, like, doing stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And so you have, there's, like, the two opposite ends of the spectrum where you have, like, the people who are just, like, rise and grind 24/7. I sleep 3 hours a night. And it's just, like, you can maintain that if you are, like, super driven, but that's not sustainable. And so I think part of the struggle with, like, being productive in that kind of sense is, like, finding a sustainable way to do it. Right. And then, like, I think that also the thing is like, when you get going and you get excited, but then you can also, like, get yourself stuck into a form of, like, burnout, which is hard. And then that's, you know, I feel like that's partly, but then I don't know, because then I hit a point where I was just, like, sitting there and just feeling drained and not motivated to do anything. And mm-hmm. then now I've kind of got, you know, enough things going on that I'm not, like, drowning in everything. And so it's also, like, on the flip side, a nice, like, you know, balance between inspiration, motivation, so that I'm actually getting back into the groove of doing things, but not, like, you know, having no free time. And so for me, I hit a wall where I was just, like, laying around, not doing anything. And then I think that just, you know, it's a feedback loop. And so then I stay tired and I stay, you know, exhausted. And I didn't have, like, at the moment, I just almost was waiting for, like, some kind of spark to come along and, you know, inspire it. And sometimes that happens and it works out for you, and sometimes it doesn't. And it's up to you to kind of break that cycle. And I've had, you know, multiple experiences with both. And that's the tough thing, is identifying when it's okay to just let yourself rest, and then when it's kind of gone on too long and that you're just kind of acting as your own worst enemy, as you usually do, you know? And so for me, it was kind of this whole culmination of, oh, I can actually, like, run around on my leg and not fear messing up my hamstring again.
Aww.
And then also, like, with that, plus with, you know, having the EP come out, and then especially, like, with Spotify Wrapped, that just, like, really boosted everything. And also just realizing, like, shit, I have a show I'm playing in, like, a week. And then it's just, like, getting on top of that, getting to, you know, engage with other people creatively was something that was just like, fuck, I miss this. And so it was just kind of, again, like, we've talked about that whole idea of, like, community and how helpful it can be. And I think also, like, I haven't, like, sat down and let myself, like, be inspired essentially by art, because I don't know, I just got to a point where I had, like, a couple of, you know, I'd just get lost down, like, a YouTube well where I was just kind of almost just, like, aimlessly watching stuff without getting anything from it.
Oh.
Just to kind of pass time, almost. And then, you know, I have little moments where I get to go and spend time with someone or this, that, or the other thing. And it's like, it's got me, I still need to go through this goddamn book, but the Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. And like a couple of the ideas that I really like, again, we've talked about the morning pages, I want to get into, that was kind of what inspired the whole like stupid musing things. Mm-hmm. But then also the idea of like taking yourself on an artist date.
Hmm.
So that could be different for any kind of person, where it could be like, oh, I'm going to go to a concert, or, oh, I'm just going to go on a walk in the park and just sit and watch the ducks or something, or I'm going to go to the art museum, or I'm going to go to the art gallery, or go to, you know, the just walk downtown strip in my small little town kind of thing. Like, it's different for different people. It's like, going to go on a hike, and, you know, it's just remembering, I feel like my interpretation of that, again, I haven't like finished the book or like fully practiced the book and everything that it tells you to,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like it's just kind of like those artist dates are kind of like, the self dates are kind of just like a gentle reminder to appreciate the world, because that's kind of where art came from in the first place. So,
yes.
So what would be your artist date? What would you take yourself to do if you think you needed to, wanted to get inspired?
Oh, baby, we'd go for a little walk and stop at the coffee shop. We'd get a cappuccino. I'd sketch a little, maybe to the opening gallery exhibit. Hopefully the artist is there so I can be like, oh my God, tell me about your work. That'd be a perfect little thing. Yeah. And close enough that I can have a night walk home. That's something I miss about being in school. Walking home at night. A little spooky, a little dangerous, but really kind of relaxing in a weird, somber way. And it would just, like, I think walking is a good date thing, for particularly for a solo date, because you just go and you just take everything in. You don't, like, you don't got to worry about anybody else. You just do you and, like, taking the sights at your own pace, because, like, especially having a, quote, artist date, end quote. I don't know, you could just sit down on the bench for as long as you like and sketch people going by, or just look at the clouds, or just sit quietly and close your... Man, I'm going to go out to Main Street, go on a little walk, face the Ziggies. yeah, that'd be nice. What about you, Patrick?
Ooh, I think for me... It depends on, like, okay, if I was going to make a deliberate, what's it called? A deliberate artist date, I think it would definitely just be, it might be to just find a, ooh, I don't know.
Drive up to the mountains with your guitar?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think it's, I don't know, I feel like there's so many things that I could just do for myself that I just haven't in a while that would constitute that, like, go up to the mountains and fucking climb one, I guess.
Yes.
Make sure I get out and actually do, like, outdoor climbing, because I haven't done that in a little bit, which was, it's always just, it doesn't matter if there's anyone else there. Like, it's really fun, and every time I run into people going out for bouldering and stuff, it's, like, a great time. Like, I always, it's a good community. It's, you know, and you can always appreciate just, you know, you're appreciating, you know, the rocks that are there by climbing all over them and be like, this is so cool. But then also, like, it could literally just be like one thing that I do sometimes, that's just, especially if I've had like a rough day or something and I just find myself like getting home late, if the sky is clear, just having like a nice little walk around like the park next to my house, where I can kind of see the stars and just kind of appreciate those are, you know, little things like that. And it's, I also am a really big fan of, like, downtown art murals. So, for instance, like, I love a lot of the art around Denver. And I know one mural in particular that I love on Main Street in Longmont, actually, is that one that's kind of in by the Chiba Hut, I believe. And it's the four women, like, braiding, four generations, like, braiding hair.
Fucking time I drive by
that, I adore that one.
Well, it's so fucking beautiful. Like, holy shit. Some interesting art on mainstream, but that one just gets me. Thanks, Chiba Hut, for
I guess for being
that parking lot.
It's just, yeah, you know, sometimes it's, you just see like a, you know, piece of art. Like, I'm a musician. Like, I guess I dabbled in drawing and, like, the other day and designed my own sticker. So let's go. Hey. I was excited about that. Turned out a lot better
than
I thought.
Let's fucking go.
But, you know, it doesn't have to be, like, as a musician, my thing that I appreciate doesn't have to be, like, a song and I'm just like, oh, fuck. It could be, like, a painting, or it could just be like a sculpture or something, and then it just hits me.
Well, I think that's like really valid considering how much fucking inspiration I get, not from other artists, but from music itself. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that or like stories. Like, I'm so happy that I've gotten back into reading books, which, oh, yes, that just feels great just to kind of hit that point in the story and just be like, that's a really cool idea. And just like, and also one thing that was interesting. So I have read through all of the Foundation books this year and kind of starting last year. And then I watched the TV series, which was done by Apple. It's a good show, except for I would argue that it should not be called Foundation because it strays so far from the source material. But I will say, and like, casting was good. But I think the thing is that they strayed so far from like, what they were. Like, there were certain ideas, like I would argue the genetic dynasty was on point for what Isaac Asimov was going for originally, and really nails home, is a creative, unique idea, nailing home the idea of how the empire stagnating was kind of what was bringing on the change. And if you're familiar with Foundation stuff, it's all about this galactic empire falling. But within that is just like, I was, so like, the me that like really wanted it to be super similar to the books was like, you know, disappointed. But at the same time, each episode there was at least like one little storyline or plotline idea that I adored, that was really cool and creative. And I would argue that it's a really good TV. Just don't get excited that you're gonna watch Foundation just like it came in the books. Like, there are some really good like ideas and storylines. Like, my favorite one was addressing the idea about, you know, a soul and who has a soul, which one thing that Isaac Asimov's like robot novels and even his Foundation novels kind of beg the question on is about, do robots have souls, kind of thing, if they become, does artificial intelligence end up having a soul? And then in this one, they take it a step further, and I loved this episode. I won't give away any spoilers, but they also bring in the idea about, would a clone have a soul? And then kind of comparing the three between like human, clone, robot, where do we draw the line on, you know, soul, kind of thing. And I really loved that. Like, the kind of like critical thinking, just the like, you know, honestly, like, call it fucking like stoner thoughts, you know, when it's just like, but can you prove that I exist?
Do any of us really exist, bro?
But like, it's, you know, getting to that kind of like those deeper thoughts and deeper ideas and kind of more profound thoughts and stuff, that's what makes everything like super exciting and thrilling to me. And I love exploring those ideas. And that's what's gotten me to, you know, shout out to my friend Maddie when we had a book club where she was like, just make sure you read everything in the book, like the author's note and everything. And I started doing that. And honestly, it gives you so much more out of the book.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. Like, especially like,
knowing where a book fucking came from. Hello. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And it's just, like, I'm making my way through the second trilogy in the Dune series right now, and just kind of getting the background knowledge that the one that I'm on now, God Emperor of Dune, was, Frank Herbert's wife's favorite book out of the series, and just kind of the different aspects and how it for some reason, like, this, it's something that I've kind of always known, was that some, especially like sci-fi and stuff, is just kind of like a, it's almost just like playing with the ideas of how certain things might play out. You know, think Black Mirror. It's all just almost like warnings of how things could turn out based on technology. And with Dune, it's not necessarily like based on the tech, as more of kind of like, you know, religions and culture and government and societies and how they'll kind of like intertwine and that kind of thing, and how, you know, despotism goes and everything. And it's just kind of, it's added an extra little like edge to, you know, observe and dive into whenever I dive into art and stories now.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I just love, you know, the lore. I will go I will go on a deep dive down into the Wikipedia hole and learn everything about, you know, this author or this artist or something. So it's just...
Oh, yes.
You know.
Hashtag guilt by lore.
Yes. Just, I liked how you said that, the feeling the fire for the further inspiration. Mm-hmm. It's just... So I guess with that one, to segue back, have you started this project with your brother with the car yet or no?
I have done some tests for materials because I'm going to be approaching this a little bit interesting. And I have the concept I need to do. Like, we literally, like, 4 hours ago, we were like, oh, shit, this is great. Shout out to my brother for fucking dealing with me and my art all the time. But I'm pretty stoked. Hopefully it'll go well. Of course, now I have to face the drafting process, which I love, and then like the painting process, which I sometimes love, and then the endeavor will slowly begin. But I do need an ingredient before I can actually start. First, I need to start the canvas. Then I need, anyway, yes. Mm-hmm. Art will be happening. I forgot your question. I got distracted by the concept of painting.
Oh, I was just asking if the project with your brother had started, but oh, no. I was also interested in, have there been any other projects? And I know you said you wanted to kind of, you know, draw other things other than just dragons. Anything since?
Well, I've, like, back and forth, I've done these little, like, these mini paintings of, like, little dog characters and stuff. And sometimes, oh, I'm very far away from the mic. And, like, drawings of my characters and trying to get back into drawing, like, humanoid bodies and so on and so forth. But I'm also just kind of interested in sort of going back to my roots and indulging in these little doggy drawings. And because when I was, when I first got really into art, I was drawing my canine characters and stuff, doing all sorts of nonsense. And I've been drawing them again, and I realized my style is just similar enough to what I used to draw, but has changed in a way that I'm like, it's not like, oh my God, this is so much better, but the stylization has changed just a little bit that like reflects an idea of maturity in art, like intention with design. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. So it's kind of like your earlier drawings were kind of just very like raw and kind of tossed out there, whereas these recent ones are kind of more like harnessing and like channeling that
finessed energy.
Yes.
Understanding like shape and line and like line flow and color choice and this and that. I haven't really started on any of this because, once again, technical difficulties getting in the way of making art. If only my tablet would work more than 15% of the time. It's so frustrating because I want to do digital art so bad because that's where my roots really began. Like, I started actually like with a lot of colored pencil drawings and things and that, and like trying traditional materials. And then I got into doing art digitally, and it just, you know, you could do like all sorts of crazy shit on a digital canvas that you would have to have a little more technique to do on like traditionally. Not impossible, but not the same. And like the screen recording process that I could do digitally to make the speed paints I used to make that I want to make again as a sort of reflection and homage to the past. Mm-hmm. Things like that. Projects I want to do but have not pursued for reasons that are kind of, sort of, maybe out of my control. So we're just going to keep painting and doing, I don't know. this is the thing, right? Every single day I have 1,000 new things that I want to do, but then you have to do them. Although... Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm also thinking about starting, again, revisiting YouTube and making studio vlogs. Oh my God. But like really recording the process, because like posting a picture of something I've like grueled on and like really like worked really hard on is so, it's just a little, you know, like it's not rewarding. But if I could like make a video, go about the process, explain the process, talk about the painting and like really showcase the, I don't want to say effort, but the process that happens with art is really interesting to me. And it's really interesting to me to see other artists do it, but I don't know, I haven't watched many studio vlogs recently because I get frustrated at my own lack of motivation to watch others be so on top of their shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to see you fucking getting your shit together. Like, I am suffering. Good for you, but I'm going to just not participate.
Yeah, I think with that one, it's tough. It just takes, like, the right mindset to kind of, you know, get to that point where you can let that inspire you as opposed to, like, frustrate you and kind of view it as, like, almost like a competition type
Which
of thing.
Which is so weird,
you know? It really is.
To, like, have that side of the coin. It's like, either I'm going to watch this and, like, do amazing things, or I'm going to watch this and literally cry. Sad. But, yeah, you know... The idea, the concept of moving on with my life and my art is there. So that's progress. Because I don't feel fucking trapped in this sort of cave that I dug for myself, like, in 2020. Because, like, late 2018 and all of 2019, I was suffering from major, major burnout. And, like, a lot of drama and stress and whatever. And then I... drag myself out of the gunk in 2020 just rendering dragon scales. And then I was like, oh, I'm just going to keep doing dragons because, like, this is, like, a, you know, I can do this and I can do whatever I want and this and that. And that was fun. And then I hit the solid wall that's this fucking red dragon painting. And I'm like, I can do other things. I'm allowed. Which goes back to this idea of, like, artists having projects, like, specific... XYZ projects before they go and do ABC or, you know, because we do not need to be shackled to our single concept. We are allowed to explore. That's why when you do thumbnail sketches, do at least three. Little hot tip, you know. but I also think about, like, artists that I'm familiar with that I have sort of gone through this, like, phase of being really stuck where they are, but then realizing they're allowed to move forward. Like, my favorite, top five favorite bands is The Neighborhood. Much respect to them, because they were my fucking shit back in the day. And they had that black and white phase to the point where when I went to their concert, like, fucking black and white toned hair, you know, the whole thing. And now, like, all of their videos were in black and white. This, like, they were dedicated. And I loved it. But now they're making stuff outside of that and exploring things with new new aliases, this and that. And just, it makes me, once again, understand that we can do other things. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, like, for me, I think that, like, I hadn't really considered, like, it was, for me, it was always, like, the music was the part that I was like, oh, I'm always going to do music kind of thing. But then it's just like, I got the opportunity to record Wendigo, which was awesome. And I, you know, never fully considered that. It was always like, oh, I have stuff to, like, record myself. But then it's like, it's so much fun to sit down and, like, record, you know, another band, like, especially in that live setting. Like, I love that. And it made me want to record more and work on, you know, maybe produce or, like, record and mix for other people. Like, I'm not great at mixing yet, but...
I love that you said yet.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, it's just... step. I've been watching like so much progress. Like literally, if you go on the Morning Honey Spotify and listen to Misfire to the Alaska EP, is just like, I think that the guitars got a little bit nicer sounding, and then my vocals definitely like jumped up because I just got more comfortable with and more confident with how I approach the vocals. I'm still not happy with it yet, but a lot of improvement. So
yes,
you know, and also with that, it's, I also like that revisiting your roots, because I feel like that's kind of what I've been doing with this solo project thing, is starting from the ground up, just me and a guitar and seeing where it goes. And also with that, I think this also plays into with your Red Dragon over there is some huge. One thing that I found kind of success in and kind of just like release a little bit is just, you know, we've talked a lot about how, don't let done be the enemy of perfect, and don't let perfect be the enemy of done. And I think interesting, and I think that it's something that can be very, it doesn't necessarily apply all the time to every single medium. Like, for instance, kind of the direction I'm kind of heading is like, you know, what's telling you that that Red Dragon isn't done yet? Is there like a glaring something that's telling you it's not? Just because like what I can see is that it looks pretty fucking cool already. And just like for me with like my songs and stuff, is sometimes I'm just like, oh, I kind of want to work on this thing. Or sometimes like, and this has happened kind of recently with me too, is just like the tone and kind of mix that I can get from just fucking a voice memo like recording. Like sometimes that just catches like just the raw energy. This also goes back to like what you're talking about for like revisiting your old stuff, where it's just like, oh, I had like all this stuff, but then it's finessed in there. And so now I guess for me, I'm at that point where it's just like, how can I get that same kind of feeling that I get from like the voice demos or in the voice memo recordings into like my professional recording? Or do I just fucking release the voice memos? Because some of them sound, you know, they capture exactly what I was aiming for. Yeah. And so I think that's the tough thing for me. So like, and also with that, like you said, it's, it can help to go on and move on to other things. And like in my case, sometimes if you can just, you know, I sat down and I kind of like was like, okay, you're going to finish writing this song, or you're going to get most of the way through writing a song every single day for a month. And then that kind of really helped get some gears rolling again. And then kind of, you know, kind of restored my confidence and almost like inspiration, motivation, is sometimes you just got to force yourself to get out of these ruts. You know, sometimes it takes, you know, really digging in and pushing that boulder out of the rut. And sometimes, you know, the river comes by and helps you out. So.
Nice. I want to relate to your voice memo, whoa, because, again, using this motherfucker as a example, there's just like more things that I have to do to it to appease the concept. Anyway, I have 1, 2, 3, or 4 iterations of this drawing on paper. All as a means of transferring the clean lines onto the canvas so I know where I'm working, right? Drafting process. The rawness of the sketch and the finesse of some of the drafting, the drafts that I have done, are way better than this is going. And obviously this has like color and pow and this and that, but the drawings themselves, I'm like, I could have stopped here, which is why it's so frustrating, because it's like, this is like the perfect iteration of the concept, but this isn't the done product. It could be, but it just isn't, at least not in this case. That's why when I had my show, The World Ender Returns, in 2019, I put up all of the draft sketches from those projects, because obviously I had my final iteration, but it was not, it didn't reflect the, like, the process or how beautiful the process can literally be, at least to me. So, yeah, just You know, sometimes the rawest forms really are the most appealing, but sometimes I just can't stop there. But yeah. I think you should release a memo EP. I think that would be great.
I did. It's called the Uh-Oh Demos.
Oh my God. The Uh-Oh Demos on Spotify. Check it out.
I'm not going to lie. I was a little upset that I'm still a little upset, but it's kind of funny and it's fitting and fair. So there's this, I can talk about which take this was. So I have this quote unquote song on the Uh-Oh Demos that is called The Perfect Take. And it's actually just a take of when I was doing the guitar for In Little Ways, which is off of the EP, which is actually the song that you're in, where you have the spoken word part in. Except for, and it was going so well. It really was the perfect tape, the perfect take. And then I dropped my pick and my guitar, and then it's probably 20 to 30 seconds of me cursing at my guitar in the background, like trying to shake the pick out and getting really excited about it. And it's the most listened to song of the Uh-Oh Demos, and that's kind of why I'm a little bit bummed about it. But it's fair, it's fitting, and I can't be upset about it, to be totally honest. It's just kind of funny that that's the one.
Well, that's like, you see artists like online all the time. It's like, why did my like work in progress post get like attention and my finished piece get none? It's like, sometimes people, first of all, find the first one and don't find the second one, or they just think it's more interesting. Mm-hmm. Which doesn't mean your finished piece is like not interesting or not fulfilling, but sometimes people just love fucking shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, yeah, literally.
Yeah, and like there's, yeah, people like us who fucking love the lore and the backstory. Oh, yes. So like watching the process,
mm-hmm,
is so fulfilling. And fulfilling, like, again, and so- that's, mm-hmm, yeah, that's why I love like podcasts like a Song Exploder, because, yeah, it's that same kind of thing where it starts with like the demo, and then it's this thing, and then I think this is actually something that you and I talked about in the episode where we were kind of warming up, and then we're like, let's try that one more time,
in our where, unreleased.
Where I think that I haven't done this, and I should do this. I think is where I, you know, with every EP I release or album I release, is upload it. When I upload it to Bandcamp or something, is then to have like the voice demo version of each song, or like where it started kind of thing, uploaded on the Bandcamp, like only on Bandcamp there, so that, you know, if you wanted to go listen to that, you can see where the song started,
mm-hmm,
kind of thing. And because like Bandcamp is a platform that I have not seen a lot of success in. I've not really seen a lot of success in like my recordings and everything. But it doesn't mean that I don't enjoy making recordings, and I'm never going to fucking stop. I'm going to probably release music every year until I die, because I told myself that however long ago, and it's been true since Maddie's Change started.
Hell yeah.
Shit, it might have been since I released my little acoustic EP as Houston's Problem, and then I think the next year we did the EP called Houston's Problem as Maddie's Changed, and then it's been every year since. I'm pretty sure.
Hey.
So.
You're so, yeah, powerful.
2016, 2015 to 2021, maybe. You can expect music every year, I guess.
Yes. I also wanted to lament about the drafting process as well, about like different iterations being the best.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that makes me the fucking saddest, well, not the fucking sad, but very sad, is when I'm watching like a video of someone making art and they have this beautiful sketch, and they fuck it up with shitty line art and paint over it, and it doesn't have the same like authenticity and beauty as the sketch does, which, mm-hmm, makes me so sad, which is why I'm such a big fan of the transfer process, because you get to maintain that first sketch and just like clean it up until you get, mm-hmm, to that painting process, so you're not ruining your like beautiful thought process. Please preserve your sketches if you can. Please. They're just like, I would rather go through an artist's sketchbook than see their gallery nucleus opening. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see both, but those bare bones, man, sometimes they, yes, really are the best.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as we keep them, that's okay. Because if we make something out of that that's terrible, then great. We can throw that away, but we still have our original specimen, Exhibit A. Yeah.
Yeah, that's I think that's one thing that's cool about like the social media aspect is like we talk about the tug of war of, you know, is social media good? Is it bad?
Right.
And I think that's one thing that is actually really positive about it is it's a really good, like, A, it's good to get your art out there. And B, I think it's a really good platform. Like Instagram, for instance, has the ability to have, like, you can post, like, what you can do is you can kind of do, like, if you said you did, like, your speed draws and everything, usually that was YouTube and stuff, but, yeah. like, using Instagram as, like, a example is you can post, like...
on there. Go check out my Instagram.
But plug it, plug it. But, is you can have, like, basically just, like, the first post be, like, the... like very bare bones sketch and then the next one be like a video of, you know, maybe a speed draw of you doing the sketch or like the progress time lapse of you doing the sketch and then it's like the final sketch and then like the final product.
Yeah, you can collect it all in one post, which is really nice.
Yeah, you can watch the, you know, the progression, which is huge.
But then you get into this weird dichotomy of like, well, I could get more progress if I post all of these things in different posts instead of putting them all in one, and you can get the video interaction if I post the video separately and this and that. All things that social media are not great for pursuing, but yeah, I love Instagram for its archival like ability because I can post everything there. Well, I guess anywhere I can post pictures of different pieces of progress, but you can collect them all in one post, which is nice, and you can swipe through it and stuff, and there's a lot of editing. Progress is so, like, art progress is just everything to me. Like, I went to a museum and saw I don't have to talk my history, I just saw, like, a famous artist, like, unfinished painting, and I lost my mind. Obscene. Unreal. Whew. That was pre-COVID, though, so... That was a good time. But, maybe I will take myself on a little artist date. You should, too. Everyone should.
I will.
Everybody, here's your homework assignment. I'm going to start assigning homework.
That's a good segment. I actually really like that.
And do your thing. Yeah. Here's
Beth's homework assignment.
Yes. I am your teacher. This is a whole tangent, but, like... I think every artist has that moment where they're like, I want to be a teacher, LOL. But I just kind of want to, like, make art and, like, be like, and tell teenagers, be like, that's great. Anyway, I'm going to keep working on my art.
Yeah.
All of you get an A just for showing up. Nice work. I'm going to go out back and smoke. I'll see you guys in 15 minutes. Yeah. I don't know. I love... Beth, art teacher fantasy. It's hilarious to me.
I mean, it's just teaching stuff is very, very fulfilling, and I do really enjoy teaching to an extent.
Well, I totally forgot you were a substitute teacher there for a hot minute.
Substitute teacher. It's just that in certain ways, and I've taught, you know, I've taught guitar, I've taught voice, I've taught some music theory. Music theory, I nerd out about and I love, but it is a hard subject to get into people's brains because it can be so dry off the bat, for sure. I also was not very receptive to music theory when I was 12-13.
Yeah,
but having that initial exposure definitely helped me in the long run, which I think is also really another interesting thing that you brought up about your whole idea of like kind of like the raw collection when you were younger and then kind of finessing it. And that's kind of, I think that's the best way I've ever heard, best way to describe kind of applying music theory to your own music. And I'd assume it's kind of similar to like, you know, any kind of medium, any kind of like art technique or theory, applying it to your raw emotions and kind of, it's just a way to channel and basically like way to channel everything. And I love that way of putting it because there's, for me, like growing up as a, you know, and growing as a musician through the years, there was a point where I was like, I got to a point where I get excited about learning about music theory. And then I felt like I was like always, you know, running into issues and like putting a roadblock in my own way to fit into music theory and be like, oh, I can't do that note. And then I was just like, oh, I missed the days when I didn't know about music theory and I was more free and stuff. And then I think you hit a point where it's just like, you apply it to kind of like channel the that emotion and that raw kind of energy and like creativeness. And I think that's the point that really like has me excited. And I feel like that's where I've like really gotten to kind of more recently. And it's very exciting. And I think that, you know, it's just kind of part of the artist journey kind of thing is you start off with art is like, there's no rules. I can do whatever I want. That's cool. And I want to like copy this and do exactly the same way this, but I want to create my own thing. And then you hit like a point where some people are like, but listen, there's some rules. And some of the rules are like, you know, like your oil painting, like lesson is just like, if you do it this way, you will die kind of thing. and then other things are just like in music theory, it's just like, you can't play an F natural in the key of G. That's not right.
Mm.
Unless you know the rules and you know you're breaking them, quote unquote, properly or whatnot.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's just like, if it feels right, you can make it work out. And sometimes I've applied music theory and it smoothed out the sound of what I was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it made things work out better. And sometimes I accidentally broke rules correctly when I was younger. And it just worked, and it was kind of just a chance of luck. But it's also the rules and stuff kind of sit there because they're a way to understand and, like, basically gather and organize these thoughts and ideas and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, especially, like, pertaining to music, because there's certain cultures that, and I learned this one through an interesting little book on the psychology of music, I suppose. But, house, there's certain cultures who actually enjoy and appreciate dissonant notes over kind of the more quote-unquote harmonious notes.
Yeah.
And also when it comes down to music theory, notes is like, you know, it's, you break it down, it's just kind of fucking science and sound waves traveling through and just like finding resonances and just being like, oh, that's why it's harmonious.
Theories, rules. They exist as guidelines, really.
Yes.
And that's how they should exist. They should never be like, oh, this sucks because you did, you. It's like, no, things are allowed to exist even if they're outside of the official theories, which is why, like, even in art, like, it's a huge thing. It's like, learn the rules before you break them. Particularly with anatomy drawings, like, that's like a hot topic in their community. It's like, your anatomy's broken. It's like, well, it's my style. It's like, well, maybe you should like actually learn how bodies work before you like stylize everyone's bones and organs away. you know what I mean? But yeah, just shit, you know? But every day is a new day to find a new rule to break and find a new piece of art to work on or look at or, you know, whatever. Just doing things.
Yeah. I think one of the coolest takes on rules and stuff is I've actually been kind of like, I've tried the whole like masterclass thing because they switched from paying like $150 per class to like that being the cost to have access to all of the classes for a year.
There you go.
Which the thing is like, I read some reviews before doing it and I think the best one that I got was, you're not going to get a certificate or anything from these classes. But this is, you know, some of the people who might be your idols and they could be, you know, they're teaching you real things and things that have worked for them. And more often than not, it's essentially like a way to enrich your life and maybe even inspire you because there's a lot like the arts and honestly, the cooking lessons are pretty good too. Mm. And I love me some good cooking videos, which I did not pay specifically for the cooking videos, but I also love that they have a whole bunch of different styles for like different cultures. Like they have, you know, Mexican cuisine, Indian cuisine, and I'm so excited to get into those. Like, holy shit. But I've been going through Neil Gaiman?
Gaiman?
I don't know if you know. The author of Coraline and many other things, a comic writer and stuff as well, is he put And also, I kind of stumbled upon the same kind of idea with my friend Calvin when I went to his film release and had a Q&A afterwards, because I'd never really looked at it the way that he's, you know, kind of put it, is that essentially the rules kind of define the genre. It's not necessarily, like, there's certain, like, things that are big, like, no-no techniques and, like, you know, with, like, if you're going with film, like, certain techniques are big no-no. Same thing with music, same thing with art kind of thing.
Sure, yeah.
But then, you know, Neil Gaiman was, like, talking about how you follow the genre rules. And so then it's kind of like, if you write a sci-fi novel, then, like, XYZ is supposed to happen, because that's the genre rules. That's what makes it a sci-fi novel. Hmm. And for instance, like with Calvin brought it up with his most recent movie, Safe House 1618, which is a great movie, which I think you can actually stream via another Hole in the Head film festival, which is kind of going online, which I highly recommend. It's a very good movie. And so he was talking about how he kind of combined the slasher and, you know, crime genres. Whereas in slasher, the whole idea is you have sex, you die. And then in the crime thing is if you go and visit your family and stuff, that's how the cops catch you kind of thing. And so I'd never really thought about genre that way until, like, he had mentioned that. And then it was, like, reiterated when I was listening to Neil Gaiman talk about genre and stuff. And I was just like, that's, I like that. Cause I feel like genre is something that's kind of interesting. And it might even be a little bit different from music and then maybe even like physical art kind of thing to movies and, you know, TV shows and stuff. And especially with whatever the fuck Spotify did with their genres, where there's like 800 genres.
Oh my God, I have so many things to say.
Which I love. And I think it also, which I love how, like, goofy it got, honestly. But I also think that it's, like, you know, it kind of gave me a little bit of peace, because I feel like one pressure that I always did as a, gave myself as a musician was, well, what genre am I?
You can just fucking make it up.
Yeah. And the thing is like, it's, the genres kind of help, the genre is literally just there to help the audience, the listener, the viewer, the reader to kind of know what to expect. And
context.
If they like other ones, yes. Yeah. They are literally just the, you know, yeah, like the context, the hashtags or something to the description to be like, oh, I like something else that was like that. Like, you know, oh, I liked this. Like, let's use music for instance. It's like, oh, well, I like, you know, I like the band Camp. And then they could just be like, oh, you like them? This other band describes themselves kind of like this band. I bet you'd like Rainbow Kitten Surprise kind of thing. Oh, and yes. So I think with that, that's essentially like all, that's like the most useful, like the word genre is. It's just kind of like a way to categorize. I mean, that's literally what it is. I just feel like I'm talking in circles and made like the most obvious point ever. But, you know,
yay.
I think as an artist, it can be kind of like tough because it feeds into your identity.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's kind of weird. And I think that's also like why I've had some conflict and like struggles with the whole pop punk kind of thing, is just that watching certain circles and scenes kind of just, and artists and stuff. And it was so prevalent in the pop punk scene. But I think the thing is that it's not just the pop punk scene that was the issue, with just a lot of like kind of gross characters where you see from like Front Porch Step to like Brand New and all these kind of issues and stuff. And it's,
yeah,
it's, you know, it's difficult.
Yeah.
But, and so I think that with that is like, I had kind of identified with the pop punk genre a little bit. So it was kind of tough to view it as more than its negatives. So, which ultimately it is. It's more than its negatives.
Yeah.
And that's every little like niche and scene or whatever is going to have a couple of bad guys. Like you can't always escape that kind of thing. Like growing up and progressing is just kind of the we're always like diluting the toxicity essentially, and it gets better and better every time, but there's still new ways that it's going to crop up, and mm-hmm. you know, we can't always avoid it. We're always going to run into it, and I hate that, but that's life, baby.
Oh yeah, getting older, realizing some people are just evil. Oh.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. Well.
Well, we are running the time.
Oh, I miss 420.
No.
Sorry.
Speaking of missing things, though.
Oh, yes.
I think we goofed it with the last episode. We forgot to end it properly. So, one last thing before we go.
Oh, shit. Oh man, that's how you know it's been a while. We have.
Yep.
All right. So Beth,
what feels like home to you?
Cup of coffee and cream, baby. In a mug. Yes. I don't know. Every time I sit down with a cup of coffee and cream and just like it's quiet, or I'm like watching something and I have my little microwaved coffee cake. Right now that feels like home to me. And I think the original thing was I would take the long way home sometimes coming home from work, which is just like, you know, back roads, long stretches and stuff, less cars, not the highway. And I would stop by the St. Vrain Greenway, just like off the road coming off mm-hmm. it. And I would park there and I would stare at the mountains, and I would stop there pretty frequently, and just kind of became like stopping at home before I went home after work. I did a lot of writing there, a lot of thinking, lots of listening to music, a lot of, you know. And the other day, before we recorded your podcast, actually, I went down and just had a cuppa, just sat on the picnic table with my coffee and cream in a mug, stared at the mountains and watched the geese. Yeah. That's pretty homey for me. What about you, Patrick? What feels like home lately since I missed you last time?
It's okay. I think, honestly, I think for me, what feels like home is just being out in the mountains. And I feel like that's kind of played a little bit into me kind of almost like self-defeating to an extent, and kind of just being all burned out a little bit, is that, you know, just looking out at, I've had a fucking great year, and I don't think I fully appreciated that. It's just like, you know, my couple little like random trips where I just fucking lived out of my car for a week and drove through the mountains and across the country, and were like some of like the happiest times I've had in a long time. And it was just out doing shit that I really wanted to do and love doing, and you know, it was like some of that moment of just being comfortable with myself. And so I think that's kind of played into me kind of having a supposed like rougher self time recently, so it's just been really nice. Like, I think the last time that I really like, yeah, August was, like, I think the last month that I, like, really spent a good amount of time up in the mountains. Like, I went and did some shifts up at Estes, but just driving up there is not the same as, like, going out and just fucking being alone on a mountain or, like, you know, in the wilderness like that, which is kind of, you know, that just kind of feels like home. And I haven't been there in a while, so I think that's something I owe to myself to get back to.
Yeah. I just think about you hopping on a boulder, sitting in a forest, and being like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you take a trip to the mountains. Me, I'm taking a trip to some cafe, and I'm going to have a cappuccino.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With some raw sugar.
I'll go find me a random coffee shop in the middle of a tiny mountain town.
You open up a little coffee shop in a tiny mountain town. With your pour over.
It's my retirement plan, honestly.
Yeah. I love that.
Live in a tiny mountain town and teach the local kids how to play music and roast my own coffee. Aww. Call it good.
One day.
One day. We'll get there.
First, we got some more art to make, Patty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Spent the last year trying to mend the way you left me lying wide-eyed in my bed.
Well,
well, you know, podcast. Like a podcast, like a student athlete, we're always grinding, and we have to grind out more art. No, I'm kidding. No.
How are you sleeping? Don't you have art? No, I have sleep to do.
There's something precious in its design, the way the door shut, but I still can't see through fine.
Wait, before we go, I want to close out with this thing that I saw that I think is just sort of nice. This post is hilarious because it's all in like baby jargon, but it's like, I'm so serious. Humans were made for art and friend and food and Betty Bye. I mean this.
That sounds right. Accurate. Yeah.
Oh, and help each other. Humans are made for help each other. That's the other important part. That's it. Well, until next time, dear listeners, thank you for tuning into Fueled by Laura podcast with Patrick and me, and Beth.
Oh, I'm so glad you did that. I could not do that without breaking down laughing.
Tune in next time.
I can't take myself seriously.
Maybe next Monday, huh?
Hopefully. Yeah.
Well, until next time. Yes. It's been real, Patty. It's been real. Other people, who are not
here.
I'll
just have this, like, rambling at the end, after the end credits, and then it'll just be a little bit of uncomfortable silence.
Yeah.
You'll check and see if your phone died, if the Spotify just stopped working, for your, you know, Apple Podcast stopped working.
After a little while, you just hear...
Realize I'm just an asshole of an editor.
All right. That's the outro.
Perfect.
Great.
Okay. Oh my gosh.